This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the LA Local Morning Update, keeping you caught up with the latest from KNX News. Check back this afternoon for the LA Local's full daily briefing on what you need to know in SoCal.
After these fires, you need long-term rent help. Time's now to start working with FEMA. There's a teenager with an AI tool to look for wildfires. But first, we are talking about a lot of rain this week.
Yeah, a few more days before we get it, but they're already shoring things up because they're concerned that this storm really might trigger some debris flows, rock and mudslides. Let's get more live from our John Baird.
Well, when I was up here last week, I saw them putting up this massive barrier just southeast of Big Rock, where mud and rocks came down the other day and blocked PCH. I've seen chain link fencing attached to these heavy beams. We have K-rails going in. Even tarps on the hillside, there's a yellow one right in front of me, to try to keep the rain from saturating the hillside so the mud and rocks does not come down. But they're also clearing out debris basins, which were 80% full, so they have more room for debris before the rain comes in again. Now, forecasters say it's all about the intensity of the rain.
With this cold front comes the heavier rainfall, intense enough that we believe that we'd be capable of producing mud and debris flows in and around the recent burn areas.
That's Andrew Rorick with the National Weather Service. So PCH is closed indefinitely because of the coming storm and the danger from these potential slides. Officials are not about to let this slide, though. They want to do what they can to get ready before the heavy rain comes in late Thursday night.
All right, John, thanks. Pasadena Community Foundation giving $450,000 to local groups to help people affected by the Eaton Fire. This is the second round of funds going to 18 nonprofits, church organizations, Altadena, Pasadena, for food, shelter, medical care, other emergency support. Pasadena now saying they're focusing on older adults, so working with local leaders to make sure the aid goes to where it's needed the most.
Pasadena Council looking at ways to test homes for safety after the fire. They want to check for dangerous chemicals, lead, asbestos, benzene in the home. Some of the testing has already been done in the public places, but they still need to figure out how to test the homes. Could be expensive, costing maybe $2,000 to $5,000 per home. Residents encouraged to share test results, but there's some concern about the results and how they could affect home values.
Renters looking for a place to live being urged to get in touch with FEMA to look for medium to even long-term funding for the rent.
Many of those whose apartments were burned out and didn't have renter's insurance covering relocation took part in FEMA's one-time displacement assistance program, Cash Grant. But FEMA Region 9 spokesperson Brandy Richard Thompson says those who are on the edge of being unhoused can enroll in the rental assistance program. If you've been turned down for RAP, Thompson says a visit to a disaster center is a better option.
Some people have been deterred by maybe a letter that they got from us saying that they were ineligible and don't necessarily know how to correct that. They believe that they may no longer be able to receive assistance, even if they've applied. And so we encourage you, if you've gotten a letter that says that you're not eligible or that asks you to provide additional information, please do so. And for those of you who haven't even considered applying, take a look at the assistance that we offer at FEMA.gov. There's actually a banner for the Los Angeles wildfires. If you click on that, it will explain to you all of the assistance that could potentially be available to you so that you can determine whether or not you're going to register.
Renter assistance program can be extended for up to 18 months. Got to register for that program, though, by the deadline. It's right now, March 10th.
A 16-year-old from Orange County is testing wildfire detection centers in Irvine. Came up with this idea, started the company to detect wildfires using AI, and now the Orange County Fire Authority is helping him make it a real product, and he's gotten funding from the Irvine Ranch Conservancy. He started working on this tech in fifth grade after the campfire up in Paradise in 2018. His sensors, he says, can detect small fires and alert firefighters early.
This morning, a lot of animals rescued from the Eaton Fire. I'm going to go up for adoption. Here's Emily Valdez.
Between 50 and 70 dogs, cats, and even a few birds need some new homes. Many of them rescued from the fire zone in Altadena and Pasadena. Others have come in as strays to the Pasadena Humane Society.
We've decided, especially for dogs, like, we don't want a flood of people kind of wandering through, because that will be stressful for these dogs. And it's already been a stressful enough month for them.
Kevin McManus is with the Pasadena Humane Society. Photos and bios of the adoptable pets will be on the Pasadena Humane Society's website. People are encouraged to pick a few out before they show up in person.
So if people are interested in a dog, we have several areas that we'll be doing meet and greets.
You may have seen photos of the most severely burned cats and that husky. They're not ready for adoption just yet, but they are healing well, and eventually they too will need new homes.
Pennies, tariffs, and a possible FBI purge connected to January 6th. A lot going on in D.C. this week, and we talked about it with our CBS News Justice correspondent Scott McFarlane, and asked about the president's order that the Treasury Department stop minting new pennies.
First of all, this is actually politically popular. People have no use for pennies anymore, and this has been talked about for many years in Washington, like three decades. And politically, it's a winner because people don't like saving these things. It costs more to mint a penny than the penny's actually worth. They never seem to be able to corral the political will to make this law, but maybe this will put it over the edge. That's your fun answer. The killjoy answer is it requires Congress to get rid of the penny. Congress has oversight of these matters, and this is another example of Trump trying to circumvent Congress. And Democrats, especially local Democrats, are trying to make the argument here that Congress is unilaterally disarming itself. The Republican leaders are letting Trump run roughshod over Congress, and that has a lasting impact that is more expensive than the penny.
So they make their last stand on the penny question and say, we will not go down.
Not going down without a fight.
All right, let's get over to what you're watching today, the FBI. Are a bunch of FBI agents going to get canned for doing something that, I don't know, they were just ordered to do?
Yeah, it's very possible. It could happen at any moment, Mike, which has got FBI agents in a real bad spot right now. One agent told me that I'm checking my email every few minutes to see if I've been fired. That's not a good way for the FBI to function, because, you know, their day job is to chase terrorists, child predators, and violent gangs. There could be a purge of dozens or hundreds of FBI agents just because they took the assignment they were required to take. They investigated the U.S. Capitol riots. That includes those in the field offices in California. This is not a Washington, D.C. investigation, Mike and Vicky. This was a nationwide investigation involving FBI agents from every field office across the country. If there's a purge, you can't just go hire a new FBI agent. That takes years and investment. This is a destabilizing moment inside the Bureau. And to put it charitably, they are distracted right now because of this.
I talked to my relatives in Canada over the weekend, and it was uncomfortable. They feel kind of bad and a little angry at what's going on. They're like, hey, we're nice up here. And Canada, even, or at least Ontario, had an ad during the Super Bowl to say, hey, we're your neighbors to the north. Be nice to us. We cooperate with you. What's the latest with the tariffs and how they're going to, just all of the tariffs with China and everything, and how they might impact us as consumers?
More tariffs today, including an import tariff on steel and aluminum products, not just from China, but from anybody that's importing steel or aluminum into the U.S. or exporting it into the U.S. That could impact automakers, could impact small manufacturers, including local manufacturers. This is the start of a trade war. And one Chinese official was quoted this morning saying, nobody wins in a trade war. It's just a matter of who gets the most pain.
That is CBS News Justice correspondent Scott McFarlane. Talk a little bit more about tariffs as 20 minutes of nonstop news continues.
We're brought to you by Osron Law, the Injured Workers Hotline. Yeah, administration expected to announce new ones today.
President Trump made the announcement about tariffs while on board Air Force One, heading to the Super Bowl in New Orleans.
Any steel coming into the United States is going to have a 25% tariff.
The president says that will also apply to aluminum. He says more reciprocal tariffs against other countries will be made public tomorrow or Wednesday. Wendy Gillette, CBS News.
China's counter-tariffs kick in today. CBS News correspondent Jill Schlesinger has details.
That includes a 15% tariff on U.S. energy exports and 10% on certain manufacturing products like trucks and motorhomes and agricultural machinery.
These are in retaliation to the president's decision last week to pressure Beijing to do more to stop the flow of fentanyl into the U.S. The Chinese foreign ministry spokesman said today the tariff war harms the interest of both peoples.
The federal buyouts are before a judge today.
A federal judge in Massachusetts will hold a hearing on the Trump administration's deferred resignation offer. Under the proposal, federal employees would be placed on administrative leave, but would receive regular paychecks and benefits through September. President Trump's Department of Government Efficiency reports some 65,000 federal employees took the deal. But some employee unions have challenged it, citing whether the administration has the authority to cut so many workers. Linda Kenyon, CBS News, Washington.
There's a call for criminal complaints to be filed against the International Olympic Committee.
The International Boxing Association says the IOC's move to allow two women boxers to compete in Paris last year and win gold medals may serve as grounds for criminal prosecution. The executive order on transgender athletes signed last week by President Trump is cited by the Russian-led boxing body. The IOC, which has been in a long battle with the IBA, has consistently said the boxers from Algeria and Taiwan who were assigned female at birth and identify as women complied with all rules for the Olympic tournament. Steve Kathan, CBS News.
World leaders, tech experts meeting in Paris, talking the future of AI, U.S. represented by the VP.
Vice President J.D. Vance arrived for a global gathering of world leaders at the Artificial Intelligence Action Summit. It's the first global meeting of its kind where CEOs and heads of state are meeting to discuss the future of artificial intelligence, whether or not it needs any global guidelines regarding sustainability. Vance will address the gathering on Tuesday. This is the vice president's first international trip, and it comes as Trump is weighing levying tariffs on the European Union, who he claims has been benefiting from a trade deficit with the U.S. Vance is then expected to head to Munich later in the week, where he will meet with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky at the Munich Security Conference.
CBS's Olivia Rinaldi.
Israel outraged over the conditions of the last three hostages, the latest to be released by Hamas. And CBS News correspondent Chris Livesay has more from Jerusalem on their conditions that they faced to the very last minute.
From 491 days in a dungeon to precious seconds of bliss, Ohad Ben-Ami embraces his daughters and wife. Of the three, he's the sole hostage to come home to a family intact. Hamas forced Eli Sharabi to tell the crowds in Gaza that he was happy to soon be reunited with his wife and daughters. However, they were all killed during the October 7 terror attack.
17 more hostages are expected to be released by the end of this current phase. 9 of them are said to be alive, including one American.
Students of the UC system taken on the federal government over the accused of sharing of personal financial data, one of a number of legal actions stemming from Elon Musk and Doge and cutting the size of the government.
In this case, the lawsuit by the UC Student Association is against the Department of Education. The organization hoping a judge will put a stop to the agency allegedly sharing anything from names and phone numbers to social security numbers and credit reports of student loan borrowers. The Department of Education, one of the agencies being reshaped by the Elon Musk-led Department of Government Efficiency. It's a move that's drawn the attention of digital privacy watchdogs like the Bay Area-based Electronic Frontier Foundation. Spokesman Josh Richmond.
That's a huge departure from privacy and information security norms.
No comment from the Department of Education. San Jose State political scientist Larry Gersten says this case and others like it will likely end up in the hands of the Supreme Court. It will come down to a ruling on presidential powers.
The fundamental question behind all this is whether Trump has the authority to give this to Musk or anybody else.
I'm Mike DeWald, KNX News 97.1 FM.
It is a Super Bowl that Philadelphia fans will remember for a long time. And Bob Brill reports it doesn't even seem like Kansas City was even there.
A 40-22 blowout and a 24-0 halftime lead. That's really all you need to know is the Eagles spoiled the Chiefs' three-peat party in Super Bowl 59. Cooper DeJean ripped off a Patrick Mahomes pass and ran it back for a touchdown on his 22nd birthday as the Eagles' D kept the Chiefs all foe in check. MVP quarterback Jalen Hurts.
We had a special group this year. We were able to learn from the past and get some nice new pieces and get over that hump.
Eagles quarterback Jalen Hurts on Fox. Taylor Swift was hardly visible, and neither was President Trump, the first sitting president to attend the game. Noticeably absent was First Lady Melania, although the rest of the Trump family was there with the president. I'm Bob Brill, KNX News 97.1 FM.
There was Dunkin' Donuts, Ben Affleck, Bill Belichick.
As Matt Damon and Tom Brady don't have the heart of a champion.
We got a new squad, Dunkin' sequel.
Afflecks and Belichick.
Dunkin'!
The heart of a champion. We've talked about the ads now with Tim Calkins, professor of marketing, Northwestern University's Kellogg School of Management.
Hi, Tim. Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
So the morning after the Super Bowl, it used to be, wow, did you see that commercial? Oh, I love that one. Did you like this one? And this one seemed kind of ho-hum. I saw a post that asked the question, have Super Bowl ads gotten dramatically worse? What's your take?
Well, that's something we hear, I'll say, most years. Because what happens is in our minds, we remember these few isolated, fabulous Super Bowl ads. Then, you know, Mean Joe Green and Apple 1984. You know, but along the way there were probably 2,000 other Super Bowl ads that sort of blended into the past. This year, I actually thought the advertising was pretty solid this year. You might say it's better than the football game, actually, because there was a lot of interesting spots that were running this year across the Super Bowl. Some really worked and some sort of missed the mark.
Did you have a favorite? Did your students have a favorite? I wasn't like laughing as much as I used to. That I noticed. I was kind of like, huh, or like, oh, that's interesting. But I mean, I wasn't wowed by anything.
So we put together a panel of students. We've been doing this every year. We get 72 of our MBA students together to look at all these spots. We try to think about which ones are really going to work, which ones are going to build the brand, and which ones are going to build the business. Not necessarily which one is the funniest, but which is going to be like effective. And this year, a surprise, I think, the number one spot, according to our panel, was the spot from Novartis. And that was all about breasts and all about breast cancer screening. And that was a spot that really stood out because they got out there and said, let's talk about breasts. That got everybody's attention. And then they follow it up with, yeah, and you really should be getting screening done. And that was really quite a striking spot. They took a risk on that. I think it really worked.
What about the ones that didn't work? What did you look at and you said, oh, that was terrible?
Well, one of the spots that people were really looking forward to seeing was the one for ChatGPT from OpenAI. But that was a spot that really didn't work for our panel. You might remember that spot. It had a lot of dots turning into different visual images. But in that spot, it wasn't really clear what we were advertising or what the benefit was or what the product was. You know, one of the things a good ad needs to do, you have to know what it is and why you might want to buy it. Basic stuff. That was a spot, that ChatGPT spot, really missed this year. One other one was that one for Coffee Mate. You might remember that. That was the one that had the very large tongue. And what happened there is that was what we call negative amplification. People remember the tongue sort of waving around there, but not in a good way.
That was so weird.
Well,
not in a good way.
Not in a good way, though. But well, and the problem is that's what you remember. That's what sticks with you, not something about the product that's positive. Ultimately, these are all investments, a lot of money. And, you know, they got to make business sense to really be worth it.
All right. Tim Calkins, professor of marketing there, Northwestern University's Kellogg School of Management.